Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I am back with the one, the only, the queen of cozy, best-selling author, Liz Marie Galvan. I am so happy to have you here. We've already done a part one for your first best-selling book. And now we're here to talk about your next best-selling book. I don't know if it's best-selling yet, but it surely will be. Create Your Own Cozy. I mean, you are the queen of cozy. It's so, so, so great to have you here. And what the first book was called 100 Ways. What was it? 100 Ways to Be Cozy?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, you, how do you know how to be so cozy? I love this because coziness is not just, and you, this is a quote that you said, I'll go ahead and start with this. Cozy is more than how a room looks or what's in it. It's how the room functions, how it triggers each of your five senses, how it comes together in a way that is comforting and peaceful to you. And I love this. We talked about this on our podcast, part one. You said, coziness has helped me navigate hard seasons and more fully enjoy the good ones. So I wrote this book to help others find their own cozy, their own style, to create a haven that refuels the body, mind, and spirit. Now, I feel all of that.
I love the way you read that with so much energy. It's so, I love hearing from you. And first of all, thank you so much for having me back. I love talking about cozy with you. It's just really exciting to be here. So thank you.
I'm so excited to be with you. You are one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram because you make me feel good. I've gotten in a season of where I'm very aware of, like you're talking about, my triggers. And I even feel like my Instagram, I've done a lot of like curating of my Instagram feed to make sure that what I'm looking at is good for my brain and it has nothing to do with like the person, you know, because everyone is just putting themselves out there. I mean, it has to do with the person. Like, people can be a great people, but I don't necessarily need to follow them because it doesn't trigger my senses in the correct way. But your Instagram feed makes me feel so calm and so peaceful, and it's so beautiful, and it is so cozy, and it is so much more than just cozy. It's like a lifestyle.
Thank you. And yeah, that's what the new book is about too. It's, you know, we've talked about in the first two books, we've talked about how to make your home cozy with 100 tips each. And this one is like, okay, let's find my own version of cozy because everyone's version is different. And let's implement this into every part of our life. And so hearing you say that is amazing. And I talk about that often, about how we should only be following people that bring inspiration or joy. If they are giving us feelings of, you know, we're lacking something or we're not cozy, we should unfollow. And really, and that's just part of your lifestyle. We all scroll. And so that would be implementing cozy into your scroll.
Okay. So talk to me about, on the bigger scale, about create your own cozy, how this is a lifestyle thing. And where did, how did you start getting all cozy? Like, when did the cozy happen for you? And when did it become so much bigger than just making your room comfy?
It's so funny how this came about. I feel like it was my lifestyle, simply because I had been going through a lot of things from deployments and being a military wife and being alone for 7 months out of the year. And during that time, also starting our infertility journey unknowingly and our miscarriage journey.
You had a lot.
Yeah, we've lost 12 babies, you know? And so I think naturally, you go one or two ways. You either become a mess, and or you look within and you're like, I need to create a cozy life that really is like a big hug during these hard times. And I didn't realize I was doing this until the publisher, they reached out, and I was like, no way, I'm an author, I'm not gonna write a book. But they wrote this email saying, like, you are this queen of cozy, and we would love to hear from you in book form. And I was like, wait.
But you did not pursue writing a book. A book pursued writing you.
Yes. And I realized, awesome. Yes. And I realize now, now becoming an author, I look around me and I realize now what a privilege that was. I would have never pursued it. I still don't feel good enough to be an author. But I'm very thankful they reached out, because I get to share in book form, which I think is cozy, these tips on creating your own cozy. And that's from an imperfect person. I'm coming at you. Our house is always under construction. I'm kind of a mess, you know? And so I'm coming at you, not preaching at you. I'm just saying, I think that you would like this life.
Well, we've already discovered we're both fours on the Enneagram.
Yes.
Which have you, I've done a lot of work on my fourness in the past few years since I've talked to you. Like, I hired a life coach, and I like have done some intensive therapy, because I'm like, I also have had not as many miscarriages as you, but four miscarriages. And that,
so sorry.
The last, I just had two back to back after Sunny, and that one like took me down again. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. But I feel like being a four, being an emotional wreck, like I just live in my feelings so deeply. And I feel, I'm so happy that you have found your outlet to put this in, because there is a place to share it and there is a place to heal it. And it's, you just have to find it, and you can't stay stuck in it. But like, I have a tendency to get really stuck. But I just turned 40 and I'm like, I just can't do that anymore. I just can't get stuck in these like just wells of sadness. It's just not, I don't like it. It's not inspiring. And I've got to figure out what to do with myself to make it productive. And I feel like that's what you have done so well. Have you had more miscarriages since adopting Cope?
Yes. And that's
went back, you tried. Oh gosh, Liz.
Yes, I know. And it's, that's, as you know, I feel like after you become a mom, it doesn't get easier. You know, I always thought maybe it would be easier, but it doesn't. You see these like precious little faces, and I'm glad that you brought up being a four, because again, I'm coming at it as this imperfect person. And so I get stuck too, you know? And we've since taken measures that we won't be getting pregnant anymore. And that was, I'm very at peace with that decision. But that's, again, helping create that lifestyle that, you know, feels like a big hug. You know, I don't have that fear anymore, but now I'm kind of, you know, we want to enter the adoption space again, and not getting stuck on those hard feelings of, will it ever happen? You know, will it be as good as the first time? You know, not getting stuck there either. So
it's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
the journey to motherhood is crazy. Some people it happens super easy, and then others like you and me, it takes years. I mean, to have multiple miscarriages like that, that's years of your life. I mean, that's years of being in this awful cycle that's just like the emotional highs and lows. And I know there's a bigger message. Like, I know the empathy gained from it and, you know, it led you to adoption. It's all can be wonderful. But when you're in the middle of it, it's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like as women too, we don't give ourselves time to breathe or be like, that was very traumatic and heal. We just get right back into the grind and we, you know, we keep going and we need to take time to, you know, we can sit there and think about it and be sad and, you know, get it out. Cause I feel like with me at least, the next day, you know, I could be laboring and because you don't get that, you know, baby at the end, we make ourselves get right back into it, act like nothing happened. And that's part of, you know, even with deployments and all of that, that's very traumatic. And we need to be able to sit there and be sad, you know, and let it out. And then we can move on from there. But I feel like as women, we don't always do that.
Well, and especially someone like yourself, like I truly believe every single person has trauma in their life. And it's like, we've been just, like you said, we've been programmed to just push through, to not really feel it or just kind of feel it and then just move on and get on to the next thing. But all that stuff gets stored in your body. I am like a firm believer because I've done a lot of yoga and a lot of therapy. And I actually have a miracle medium. Her name is Gabby. She's a medium and she's like helped me clear a tons of blocks. But I'm like, all of those traumas just get locked up in there. And I love that you have turned your career into a way to heal. I just think that that is so amazing because we all have this bigger purpose and everything works towards the bigger purpose. And that's what I really love to showcase on this podcast is how like truly you can have something happen to you like this traumatic, like you didn't even mean to write a book and you started Cozy because you're comforting yourself, but then it turns into something bigger and your life is something bigger and what you love becomes something bigger. And I just think that that is spirituality in human form being played out. I feel like that's how we share it and it can be your job. And I feel like if everyone could tap in to what was filling up their heart or how they were healing and figure out how to make it a job, which I think you can, it's just kind of, you got to get creative. I feel like the world would be healing in a much better way.
You're so right. And like, we all shove ourselves into these boxes that we think that we need to conform to, but what if we all looked within or got shoved? Mine was definitely like a meant to be God moment coming to the book, you know what I mean? I would have never pursued it because I, you know, again, I didn't think that I was worthy of that. But if we all looked within, or sometimes I think too, I'm really bad at giving someone a compliment. If more people maybe had said to me, or maybe I had said a compliment to someone else, they would discover what they're good at. And, you know, since that publisher said, hey, you're the queen of Cozy, you know, then I discovered, oh, wait, I am good at that. So I feel like I have been trying to get better at complimenting people at what they're good at or what they do well or how they make me feel. And maybe that could help people discover, you know, what they're good at.
That is so great. So tell me what has transformed in your life since you leaned into Cozy.
You know, definitely knowing what I am good at, you know, in those low times, you know, losing babies, you know, just even on bad days, it definitely drives me to share more tips and share more helpful things with other people. I think looking within and putting that light and that gift out in the world helps me heal, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And giving always helps me. You know, since I believe 2020 was the last time maybe that we had spoken. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was after that, but I remember putting a book out and I was like, what's the point of putting a book out when the world is shut down and everyone's going through this? Like, it felt so shallow. And then I realized after, again, people complimenting me and like, you know, coming at me with like words of affirmation, saying this is the time that people need this. Like, they need to create a cozy environment that nurtures them and their family. Since then, I feel like it's just been nonstop bad news. And as a four, each headline just like weighs me down so much, which makes me kind of want to come back with listen, this is how to make your home feel like it can nurture you and your family and bring you guys closer, because that's what's important. So I think definitely, you know, since we have spoken, it's just been one kind of bad thing in the world.
Yes.
After another, and it's made me kind of go, okay, let's do this. Like, this is important.
Man, I totally feel you. Like, I used to feel like I wanted to try to, like, just like we were talking about earlier, press on, act like things weren't bad, just keep moving forward. But I'm like, we can't not acknowledge all these awful things that are happening all the time. I'm like, has it always been this bad? Or is it just like social media makes it sound like there's a new bad traumatic thing literally like every day? And
I say that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. We're in the beginning, and I feel like I'm having this revelation as well. And I think everyone listening should think about this for themselves. I had that same feeling where it's like, oh, I don't want to just like do something shallow or just like, you know, I'm sitting just trying to put something out that having a conversation about, you know, all these different things that people are expressing from their artistic creativity or whatever and sharing with the world. But honestly, that is how we heal the world, because I truly believe that God gifted everyone with a talent, with some sort of calling that they feel inclined to do, something that they feel called to do. Like, you've always felt called to make your spaces cozy, especially when you're in a season of feeling like lost or sad or heartbroken. Leaning into cozy makes you feel better, and like, you know how to do it. You have these gifts to like present it and create it and teach people how. And it's not superficial, and it's not too light, and it's like topsoil. It's like, really, those are the things that we need. We need to lean into the gifts that we've been given, like you've done, and share them and start putting the light out there instead of just letting the dark consume us. And it's almost like it's our job as humans to figure out what lights us up and share that, because that's how we're going to make the light brighter in the world, instead of just letting the darkness and all the negativity constantly flood our feed. That's why I was saying, like, with your feed, I love your feed because it's light. It makes me feel good. Like, you're putting light into the world.
Thank you. And I feel you just reminded me of something that's happened since 2020, I believe, with me as well. I feel like everyone was just like yelling and like telling everyone to fit in this box, share this and share that, and you have to be a certain person. But I feel, and I hope everyone listening too realizes, that we all have different gifts. And late, since becoming parents, my husband and I say this all the time, and it's a saying, I'm sure everyone, but you don't judge a fish on his ability to climb a tree. Mm. And we say that about our son all the time, because I feel like, you know, oftentimes kids are like the milestones and they're put in these boxes and how they should be. But he's a fish. And so why judge him on how to climb a tree? And I feel like that's with us too. It's like everyone expects me, I get it in my DMs all the time, like, why aren't you reporting on the news? And it's like, that is not my talent. And I feel like if we all looked within and put our gifts out there in the way that, you know, we were meant to do, it would all fit like a puzzle.
Agreed.
And that's where world peace is. And we just need to do that. So yeah, that's just my two cents on that.
I feel the same way. I finally have gotten to that conclusion where it's like, oh, I literally feel the same way. I feel like we are all a different puzzle piece. And if everyone listens to your heart and feels in your heart, and I did this whole like exercise with some of my followers about like trying to find your calling, but it's like, what lights you up inside? What even makes you jealous? When you see someone out there and you get a little jealous, like, that's an indicator that like that person's doing what you love. And that's like a sign not to be scared of, but like, you need to be in that space. You need to be moving towards that field. Like, you need to be putting yourself out there in that way. Like, this is not an accident. We all came here with a different spark to shine. And it's literally like you're saying, if we could all just tap into that, you know, it's there, because you know when you're not doing it. Like, I know when I've turned my back on what my heart's telling me to do, or when I turn my back on what I know I'm like actually good at, or what I want to, the field I want to be in, to go just get a safe, normal life, to try to, you know, get yourself all boxed in and protected, but you're not doing what you came here to do. You feel that, and people feel that, and they feel like they can't do it. Like, I feel like a lot of people feel like they are not the chosen ones, that they don't get to live the life that they know they're supposed to. And how do you feel about that? Because I agree with you about the puzzle piece. Everyone has their own piece, and they are the chosen one. But how do you get the bravery to do it and lean into it and actually make it a part of your life and your big tapestry of your life.
Yeah. And that's just it. Maybe before social media, we were on the brink of like before social media, but not at the age that we're at. It was maybe we feel embarrassed, maybe someone, and I feel like as an author and an adoptive mom, I felt the same about both. I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like those people were special and I put them on a pedestal. And then when I get thrusted into it, because both happened kind of on accident and we were shoved into it. And I realize I'm in that bubble now and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, I'm not more special than anyone else. I am not different. It was just meant to be. Like, this is my thing. And this is just, I always set those people apart. And so if anyone's listening and you've always wanted to write a book, or you are thinking about adopting, or all of those other things, they are not any different than you. They are the same. Some people, you know, were accidentally got thrusted into these things, and some people pursued it and did it because it was their heart's desire. But I promise you, you can do it, and they are not different. And I think that's exactly it. And I think social media too, you know, when you follow someone, and I see it often, and you really look up to them, you feel like you need to take every step they took. You need to be exactly like them. And it's hard when you're scrolling to not, you know, feel like it's all the right answers as you scroll. Design, home, the way someone acts, the way they dress. We don't need another them. We need you. Mm. What do you love? And maybe you need to disconnect off social media for a while to discover this, but what do you love? What do you really want to do? What makes you tick? And I love how you said, like, what makes you jealous? Because that feeling is often overlooked. You're like, oh, I shouldn't be jealous.
You're going to shove it down. It's a tool.
Yeah, it is. And so, and I think anxiety is too. I think it's like,
tell me about that.
What makes you anxious? I have something that I'm very anxious about right now, but it's like, is that excitement? Is it like something coming to fruition that you wanted, and separating that anxiety? And if it doesn't make you anxious, is it just mundane and you're doing it because everyone else does? Like, really looking at that feeling of anxiety, you know, is that something happening in your life and opening up? Obviously anxiety, you know, we need to manage it and we need to work through it. But looking at that feeling and really dissecting why you feel like that.
I love that you are such an example, because you are someone who life has not gone as planned. How had you planned your life?
Oh, so differently. And I'm so glad that I am not the planner of my life. I would have had, you know, I love that baby at 24, and I would have, I don't even know, I wouldn't be on a farm. I would be somewhere totally different. You know, I would be like living downtown and, you know, working at a non-creative job. I think I didn't think a creative job would provide, you know?
So your kind of suffering and your journey led you to your creativity and this job. You would totally have never become the Queen of Cozy, never written the books, if you didn't have to lean into this deep, gut-wrenching pain of losing so many babies. Like, literally, you would have never gotten here. And that's where, like, suffering, it's awful when you're in it, but there is always a redemptive side to it if you keep moving through it and working through it, right?
Yeah. And something so wild. And when I say this, I don't have the words because I am not a philosopher, but it is wild for me to look at every time that we've had a loss, something big has happened in our life adjacent to it. So, you know, we lost a baby, our store opened. We lost a baby, the farm came up. We lost a baby, the book. It's like this guiding northern light that I'm just like following. And I'm like, okay, I guess we are where we're supposed to be going, you know? And I don't mean to say that lightly either, you know, like, and again, I don't know how to say it, but it is wild to feel like you're on the right path when bad things are happening, you know?
And obviously you've gotten a happy ending. You have cope. You're an amazing mother, but you also had dreams die multiple times, literally. And like, I get that feeling so much. How do you go on when you know, especially now you have decided you're not going to try to have babies naturally, like you're not going to try to birth, you're going to go back to adoption. How do you accept a dream that's not going to come true? You have another dream that's come true, but a big dream that you've tried so hard for, and you've really put yourself through it emotionally, physically, spiritually, the whole bit, your whole family has, and it's not going to happen. You know, like you've accepted that. So, and I'm kind of at that spot as well. I'm like, we might just not, we really, really might not have another kid. And, but like, how do you accept it when that dream is just, it's over?
I used to hate when people would say like, they felt like they got a calling from God, because I was like, what does that mean? Like, you know, I felt like a voice from a cloud. For me, just like looking within. And I feel like as a four, it's like easy to like, you know, we get emotional, we feel it. For every decision, I just feel an overwhelming amount of peace eventually. Like it doesn't, I'm not saying that it like washes over me, but even with adoption, that one was like the biggest one where it's like a release from my chest and my shoulders came. And I was like this, I felt so at peace with that decision to adopt. And again, with the decision to, you know, make that final call of like, I feel so at peace with it. And so I just know that it's right.
So that's how you know.
Yes. I feel like that's how I know.
When it feels right, when it feels easy. Not that it's easy, but the decision feels easy.
Yeah. When the other decision, when you think about it, okay, one, two, when you don't feel at peace about the second one, that one's making you question. You know what I mean? I just feel so at peace of, and I want to say eventually it doesn't, when I heard people say a calling from God, I was like, I need him to like come, you know what I mean? It's like working through that and feeling peaceful.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. It's
and easy. It's probably different for everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, we all maybe get a different feeling or, you know, we would describe it differently, but peace.
I love that. Okay. And you have a lot of tips in Create Your Own Cozy for self-care and self-love, which I love. And I'm all about a good tip. Like, I think we need it more than ever, especially someone like yourself who has been through it. You have a story to tell. You could have given up in the middle. You could have like, you could have been angry. You could have been depressed. I mean, not that you haven't felt all those, but you could have stayed there and nobody would have blamed you. So why do you value routines? And you eating well is really important to you. And prioritizing exercise, spending time with your family, enjoying nature and resting, like that's all really important to you. How do you prioritize all that? And what is the difference that it makes?
And you asked earlier,
and the tips,
what's changed since we've talked last? And one of the things is that, I have lost 40 pounds, because when I became a mom, I definitely let go of routines and I didn't put myself first. I did not prioritize health, which it's funny looking back. It's like, you want to be healthy for them though. Like that's like the best thing you could give them mentally and physically. Not that I'm peak, you know, physical and mental health now, but I'm putting that effort in, and that's exactly it. Those routines. I feel like as a mom now, but anybody, I feel like that's a little gift you give yourself daily and you say,
40 pounds is no joke.
And a lot of it was, I think carrying trauma and, it was inflammation. And I just, you know, I've started to go to therapy and I realized, you know, going to a doctor for all of my mental health, just at like my normal practitioner wasn't cutting it. And having someone say, hi, this is what's going on in your brain. And, you know, let's like work through that. And it's been great. I realized I was, looking to food for a lot of like coping mechanisms and also, you know, dopamine. So food was very, you know, it was coping for me. And so working through that and letting go of that. And in this book, it felt uncomfortable to talk about before, because again, self-care is different for all of us. Health is different for all of us. But in the book, it's asking you questions and it's telling you that you are worthy of asking those and making time for yourself. And that's what I've realized since talking to you. And it's worked and I feel really good.
Okay, so you were saying do you do affirmations? I think I interrupted you. You said I am worthy. You're about to like
yes, mention and yeah,
do you
and
do that to start your day?
Yes, and being confident. Less affirmations.
Ooh, being confident, like knowing you're worthy. Like that one took me a long time. I just got that one like recently.
I repeat to my husband, because we are the same, when we get in uncomfortable situations, like we feel like we're in the way, specifically just like it happened the other day. We were at a market. We had to go pick up a piece of furniture and someone got behind us and we are like in the way. We had just pulled up. We're efficiently putting in. It's not like we're like, you know, lollygagging. And I whispered to him, "You're allowed to take up space." Because he would have moved his truck and we would have been there until 9 p.m. to let everyone else go. And because we are the same. And it's like saying that I am allowed to take up space. I am allowed to
be here.
That makes
you teary.
Yes. And it's something, I mean, we're both, you know, mid-30s.
You're not being disrespectful.
No.
You're just there. Doing yes. what everyone else is doing and being respectful and doing it efficiently. Yeah. You're not yes. taking space. But why is that our natural like go-to?
Yes. And it's, you know, you want to be polite everywhere you go. So obviously every situation is different, but also that you are worthy of time in the morning. You're worthy of going to the gym. You are allowed to be a full human and take care of your other humans. You know, it's just like, I'm allowed to use this weight bench. You know, when I started at the gym, I'm still very nervous at the gym and I've not been going lately, but I am allowed, like if someone says, "Are you using those dumbbells?" Yes. And at the beginning I would say,
"No,
you
can
have them." Yep. You are allowed to exist. And so less affirmations, which, you know, I probably should say more, but also starting the morning with a gratitude list. Mornings are hard for me. I get very anxious of what I have to do for the day and just being like, I'm really thankful that I'm here and I get to do these things. Like that's been working really well for me. And so that's kind of what we talk about in the book. Like what works for you? Like maybe you're a person that walks around with a gratitude list 24/7. You don't have to work on that. So those affirmations, like I am worthy. I am, you know, beautiful and I am talented. And, you know, if you're an artist, saying I am an artist, even if your art looks different than everyone else's, you know, saying those things and being confident in them.
I love that. And I feel like too, when you are in alignment, like how you are, when you are truly doing what you love and you are in joy and you are in flow, and then you are sharing that with the world, it doesn't even matter how it appears because you are doing something from your higher calling, you know? And I really had to get clear about that because I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I'm not the best interviewer in the world? I mean, of course I'm not, but I'm the best interviewer for me in the world. And I'm listening to my heart and I'm sharing a conversation with you that matters to me and with everyone else. And so like, if it matters to me and resonates with me and I'm doing it for my higher self, connecting with you in a higher space, then it's like, it doesn't have to be perfect, you know? And I feel like that's what everybody gets lost in, is it's like, you think if it's not perfect, or if, like you said, if it doesn't match someone else's, or if your journey is not like theirs, but that's really not it. It's like, are you in alignment and are you working hard to stay in alignment and to better yourself in your alignment and then share that? And that's as good as you can do, I think.
And I think I listen to imperfect, flawed people better than I listen to someone that's coming with perfection, like that forced perfection. I can't Same. Relate to that. And I tried that for a very long time because, again, I thought I had to fit in this box of like a robot author, you know, like, you know, I remember someone saying something about being an author, but like misspelling. And I was like, I'm not the editor, I'm just the author. And so, like, I felt like I had to be perfect. And I feel like people will listen more if I am flawed. And like I am, you know, I show those flaws, I should say, if I'm flawed. We all are. And I think, you know, coming at it without forced perfection and just speaking from the heart is way more palatable for people than preaching from perfection.
Agreed. You say one of your number one things for Cozy is safety, to feel safe. And I love that because I relate to you so much. I don't know if it's just because we're both a four, but like I feel that so much. I'm always looking to feel safe. And everywhere I go, in my home, in like my car, and like when I walk into rooms, like I immediately get a feeling if I feel safe or not safe. Like it's all about safety. And I feel that way with the way I have my house. Like this is my favorite house in the world because I feel safe. And that's what I always told my husband. I was like, I don't think we can move from this house ever because I actually just feel so safe here. Whether that's a figment of my imagination or truth, it doesn't matter because I actually feel that way. So talk to me about safety and why that is like your number one guiding light. And what does that mean to you?
Yeah. When people would say the queen of cozy before, I would think pillows and throws. And like, that's kind of where I started to talk about it. Cause I thought that's what it was, but really looking within it, I mean, it really is your whole lifestyle. And we spend most of our time at home in bed and we should feel safe. I think for me, there's these pillars and one of them, these pillars to cozy. And one of them is safety. And I think looking within, when my husband was deployed 7 months out of the year, I had to feel safe and I had to take measures to feel that way. And I think we often think, you know, oh, like I don't, nothing's ever happened. I don't need to do that. I don't need to get the security system. I don't need to do these steps to feel safe or to be safe. But I think doing it prior and like when you do those things, this wash of cozy, I know for us, like in our home now, getting all new like windows and doors, like that was such a comforting feeling and no one else could see that really. But for me, it was like, I felt safe. So I felt cozier. Like now that throw blanket and that pillow looked so much better and felt so much better to me because of that safety. And moving here, I don't talk about it much, but at our last house, we had a peeping Tom situation. And admittedly, yes. And admittedly, this person,
does that mean he was like peeping on you?
Yes. And he had confessed to doing it for a very long time. And it's,
did you know he was doing this?
Short story. We were laying in bed one night, or no, it was the week prior. I'm so sorry. We were up until 4 a.m. as we do. We used to do DIY projects through the night before becoming parents. Like that was our wild partying, you know? I opened the door to shake out a rug, saw a man under the street light. And I was like, maybe he's just out for a walk. Like we were in a neighborhood. Husband said I was, you know, probably just being crazy, you know? So we looked out a window and no, he was staring at the house. But again, we just thought it was nothing. Fast forward a week later, we're laying in bed. We get a ring at our doorbell. It's like 2 a.m. We look at our Ring doorbell. We have the camera doorbell and it's a man holding another man. And we couldn't like understand what we were looking at. We said, what do you want? It ended up being our neighbor holding this other guy up and saying, I just caught this guy like looking into your window. Come to find out, you know, my husband goes down there. We call the police. Come to find out, my husband and I had met up earlier at our shop and we had left his car there. So this man had been watching us and thought my husband was gone. And so he would watch the house while he was gone. And since his car wasn't there, because we had met up somewhere earlier and only driven my car back, he thought I was home alone, was looking into like our windows, and we think trying to probably get in that night. And so
that— Are you kidding me right now?
No. And that totally broke me. That was— I always thought like when people would say, oh, peeping Tom, I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like that's— sorry for your luck. When you go through it, like— and I'm sure maybe many people listening have, or like when you've been robbed, like your whole safety, everything gets ripped from you. Everything. You feel so violated. And it ended up being the neighbor across the street.
Your neighbor across the street?
Yeah.
He just was obsessed with you?
No, we think it was like a crime of opportunity. Like I'd like to think that more, like, you know, I did it. I would walk around with the lights on and the curtains open. Like I didn't think anything of it. You know,
was he trying to rob you or was he trying to—
We don't know. He said that he had been doing it for a while and that he was looking, you know, he confessed everything. And where we live, I don't know how it is everywhere else, they really don't get punished much. They don't.
So they're just out there on the loose again.
Yeah, they are where we lived at the time. And I think maybe everywhere, you don't really get punished for that. Even confessing. unless the cop like physically like catches you themselves, I don't think much happens. And I've wanted to change that. It's, but I do feel naked, very like I don't want to approach it, but I would love to help change those laws, because you really, it strips everything from you. You feel very unsafe. And so moving here was, you know, a little hard because it was like a new place. What if it happens again, kind of thing.
Well, and that's the thing too. Yeah. Like, do you feel, I've struggled with this, like putting my life on social media, and like, cause like you put your house on social media, like your family, like, and like you had this experience with this guy, do you feel nervous? Like, is that like, I
always, yeah,
I know I, that's the thing with social media. I'm like, I've scaled back so much because I'm nervous of the weirdos out there.
I've come to the, I don't share much, but at the same time, it can, anyone can do anything. That's what I've learned. Like, you have to, you know, we've taken a lot of measures, you know, like a lot of measures to add safety to our home and to our family. And you can do what you can do, you know, and almost like being at peace, like with that too,
like doing the, all that you can do.
Yes. And not sitting in that as well.
That's true, because you were totally violated. And that fear is heightened to the biggest degree it could be. But yet, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay in that like freaked out, intense feeling? Or are you going to let yourself have joy and live your life? You almost have to accept the violence. Yeah. Like, accept. Yep. Do you accept that you are violated, and then do how do you move past that violation and have peace again?
For me, it's everything. Even like just forgiving people that have like wronged you, is saying that we are all flawed humans and we all sin, and sin is in the world and we're here. Like, it's never going to be a utopia. It's never going to be perfect. If I live in fear every day, like what kind of life is that? Not saying that I don't have fear every day. You know, I'm like a nervous four walking around in a crazy world. You know what I mean?
It's hard out there, especially like, when you're showcasing your life to people, you know, because like you love to show it, but you're also like,
Yeah, and I have scaled back a lot. I have, you know, even like, sharing our animals and everything, you know, everyone has these opinions, and it's just like, you kind of know like what to share or what you're going to listen to, you know, putting anything out in the world, you're going to hear something about it, or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's accepting what you want to put out there. And I would never blame, like, let's say this happened to someone that shares everything online. I'm not going to sit there and blame them, as we all shouldn't. And it's like your fault, you know,
because you should blame
the person who did it.
Who deserves it.
Yeah. And oftentimes I see people like blaming the victim. It's like, you know, let's step back and realize, you know, who we should be blaming here. And I'm also not going to blame myself. Again, I don't think mine was social media related. I think it was like an opportunity. But if it had, I wouldn't blame myself either. I'm not going to blame myself for having my curtains open. You know, like, it's not my fault, even though sometimes you want to blame yourself, you know. But at the same time, I think everyone, safety, there's like these, it's like a cozy pyramid of sorts, and it's like safety, you know, and functionality. And then at the top you have like throw pillows and blankets, you know what I mean? But there's this foundation we should lay first.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I love that. I think that is so, so crucial. Like making yourself actually feel safe first, and then you can enjoy the cozy. It's all a part of it.
And I think saying that word, I say it so much. Like if people like did that drinking game where like they took a drink every time I said cozy, you know, the world would not be a good place. And also people definitely, you know, it can be an annoying word. It can seem very like fluffy and frivolous. And but I do think if we looked at that word differently, like it had all this weight to it. I think people would look at it differently.
So you talk a lot about sticking to a budget with being cozy, because some people are like, okay, well, good for you. You can buy all this stuff and, you know, great. You can do all these things to make yourself feel safe. But what about me? I don't have the means. I don't have the money. I don't have the ability to do that. So what about doing all this on a budget?
I always look at my mom when I think of that question, or like I think of what cozy is to me. Everyone always says, did you get this from your mom? Absolutely not. She has had the same sofa for over 40 years. She doesn't decorate. She doesn't. Cozy to her is the opposite of what it is for me.
So that's why you say it's so important to know you're cozy.
Yes. And spending money on home decor would not be cozy to her. And so
that'd be stressful.
Yeah. She has the budget, but doesn't want to. So someone that doesn't want to spend the money on things or doesn't have the money can still create cozy. I want to put it out there too that I've written 3 books on cozy with a house that is all torn up. Some walls are ripped out. And so I'm coming at this with very flawed and imperfection that you, in every season of your life, you can create cozy. I definitely think that social media feels like tap the sticker for a pillow. Like I do that every single day. I'm sharing sources that cost money. I don't want you to buy these things if you don't have the budget for it, if you don't want to buy them, or if you don't like them. I think we need to look at social media and, you know, what others are doing in a very different way. We can appreciate it and we can scroll on. We don't need to emulate someone's life, their budget. Everyone's life is different. And
if you don't resonate with it, if someone's following your stories, yes, or your feed, and if they see something like, oh my gosh, I got to get that because Liz has it. It's like, no, if it doesn't resonate with you, if it's not like a yes, if it's not a hell yes in your soul, then you're just trying to take some of the guesswork out for people. You're trying to make it easier to say like, yes, if this clicks with you, here it is. Don't have to go figure it out for yourself. Let me share with you. I've already found it. But if it doesn't, then move on.
Exactly. And I think too, like I can't give a disclaimer every single day, and neither can anyone else sharing online. I think we have to go into social media with discernment. If we're not in a good headspace, don't go on social media. And, you know, if you don't have the budget or if someone's like tempting you, that's an unfollow, you know what I mean? Or like just hide for a while. You really have to curate everything in your life to make yourself cozy. And social media is one of them, and your budget, knowing your budget in your season. Every season is going to look different. You know, do you have a lot of like home renovations going on right now? Maybe we don't need to be spending money on certain things, you know what I mean? And knowing that everyone's budget is differently and where everyone wants to spend their money. It really bothered me for a while when I saw someone would judge someone else, not necessarily me, but they would say that's too expensive and it's like, for you, yes, but you chose to spend that same amount of money on something maybe I think is too expensive. I think we need to know that everyone's wants and needs and budgets and definitions of cozy are so different. And that's one way to look at it is going, oh, they wanted to spend $60 on a pillow. I would rather spend $60 on a pair of shoes. You know what I mean? And those people are not going to agree where to spend the money. And thankfully, they have different bank accounts, so they don't have to. But I think it's just really looking at it like that and being less judgmental.
Because it's like you said, it's like, what makes you feel good? What makes you happy? What makes you feel safe? Like identifying those, what makes you feel safe? Like you said, windows and doors. So if you have a budget and you got to get the safety done first, look around where you're living. What can you do to make yourself feel safe first? Like it's, I love that. It's like, you got to build the foundation first. So get your safety knocked out, spend your money to make yourself feel safe. And then what would make you feel more cozy? And that's where like following someone like you is a really, you can get great tips. Like you show so many great tips, so many DIY tips that you can do. Tell me about like holiday decor, because I always struggle with that. I get overwhelmed. Like I've seen you like put like 30,000 pumpkins in a bookshelf and like you take out all the shelves and then like you line them with pumpkins. I'm like, OMG, you have so much energy and you're so creative. And that took so much effort for like a holiday that lasts a month. I'm like, if it's not going to last me for like a year, I don't know if I can go to all that effort, but you do it all the time. You're constantly moving and rearranging and lifting and putting stuff up. And like, you are like working your body 24/7 and constantly just reshaping and reimagining your rooms. What do you want to do for someone like me who is not super, I'm not going to spend a ton of energy on holiday decor, but I would love to make my house feel festive, but I'm not going to, if you're at a 10, I'm going to be at like a 0.5. How do I do it?
I love that you said that. And I love that we're so different in that, because this is such a great example of, that was the first thing that I would ask you. I would say, what level do you want to be at? You know, what kind of storage do you have? How much time do you want to spend on this? And so if you're following me, I love that you go into social media with discernment, because you said, I love watching her do that, but I know I don't need to.
Well, I know how much energy that's taking. And I'm like, I love it and I love to see it, but I'm like, no way am I spending that much energy. I wish my house would look like that, but that's not cozy for me to spend that energy. I know that about myself. So yes, you got to know that.
Yeah. And I will say, I have been doing this since I was a little girl. I don't know if anyone remembers Creative Memories. I would rearrange my room and snap a photo on a disposable, and then I would go get it printed or whatever developed. And then I'd put it in a Creative Memories thing. Like I had a blog before a blog. I loved rearranging things. It is in my bones. And so you're always going to see me do it, but please don't feel like you need to. And I also struggle with severe ADHD. And so putting pumpkins on a shelf is, you know, the dopamine for the day.
And I love it. But you know what you need. It's what you need.
It's the way that I do it. But for someone like you, it's what can I bring in that is just like so low maintenance? And it's
like a statement that makes you feel the way I want to feel about the holidays, but it's low maintenance.
It's just like, we have some pillow covers in a drawer that are my winter pillow covers. I take those out. I put them on the pillows. I have these velvet pillows now. We don't switch out the pillow inserts. We just do the covers. And so it's very minimal storage. We either get real or faux branches and we put them in a vase on the coffee table. And they, again, what do you want to be? Like super low maintenance, they're faux. They're little to store. We put them in, they're big, they're beautiful. And that's it. We're just switching out like a couple things and it takes us 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And we're good. We feel cozy. Maybe we have like a cozier throw for the winter we put on the sofa. And, you know, when people send us holiday cards, maybe we have like a cute, like little display and it makes us feel warm and cozy and loved every time we walk in our home to see those holiday cards. But we don't need to be like on the cover of Country Living for every holiday. And even for me, I will say, there are years where I hardly do anything.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
There are, I promise you. And honestly, like this year is one of them because my house is ripped up and I kind of, you know, maybe I'll do, for me, it's low maintenance. So it's like, I only do one corner of the house. Like I do one area where I would have done 8 rooms before. Because you know, I've got a toddler running around and I would rather go jump on the tramp with him right now than, you know, put 30,000 pumpkins on a wall, you know? So
which was so cool when you did that, I have to say.
Epic. I loved it.
Epic. Yeah.
But yeah, I love that you're so self-aware. I think we should all be more self-aware of what we really want. In each season, it can change. Next year, you could get this bug and you could be like, I really want to recreate, you know, Candyland in my home for Christmas. Like it can happen, you know, and I just feel like accepting each season and that we change is really healthy.
I totally agree. And I feel like I've realized I am someone who I don't like to do things with my body. I know that sounds really weird. Like I get really tired physically fast. Like I love to go to hard, intense yoga class. I love to do a thought-provoking interview. I love to do anything with conversation, anything communicating with people. But when it comes to like moving things physically around and creating a vision and like using my body to create this vision to move stuff up and down, like I can get in a zone if I need to get in a zone, but I don't love to do that. At least not right now. And I've realized that about myself and I'm like, am I lazy? But I'm like, I don't feel like I'm lazy. I just don't like to, maybe I'm just not inspired by it. If I'm inspired, I can do it. But it's like, it takes a lot to get me there.
Yeah. And you don't love it. And it's kind of like, I think your cozy routine is going to yoga and someone else is like, that sounds terrible. And you know what I mean? So it's like, you have your own version of that. And I do get it a lot because people will be so amazed that I can move something, but I think it's like that desire. Like I will move a very heavy piece of furniture by myself because I really want to do it. You know what I mean? I think if we really want to do something, there you have your answer. You, cozy to you is not rearranging a room and right, doing all this decorating, and you have your answer because your body like physically won't let you do that. You know what I mean? It's like listening to your heart again. I think that you got your answer because you're so beautifully self-aware.
Well, and I think that's been a relief too. Like we've been talking this whole interview is not comparing yourself to others, like knowing where do you thrive, where do you don't thrive, and don't make yourself do something that you really like your body's rejecting. Okay. I do want to talk to you about this cute little goat that y'all have, because that was another story that was started off really sad and ended up really sweet. And you really have a way of doing that in your life, Liz, is turning these sad moments into something so beautiful. Because tell me about this goat and how it's changed your life and Cope's life.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, anytime something bad happens, see, that's a great example of something
your life. Along. You it's always make it cozy. Freaky.
Yeah. So they're Icelandic sheep, but everyone says goat. You're not alone. Even close people to us, because they do look like goats, especially when they're sheared. But so we lost a mom the day after she had this very traumatic birth. It really had nothing to do with the traumatic birth, actually. But
you
we lost
die
her
in labor.
No, it was actually like a day later, I believe. And it's a common infection that some sheep get. And the interesting thing about sheep is that they die very quickly, quote unquote. What happens is sheep are prey to everything. And so they hide illness until the very last minute. So if you see a sheep sick, they're going. Like you have very limited time because they've hidden it for so long. Like they knew they were sick, but they're prey. They can't be weak. So we noticed it and we gave her, you know, the proper medication. You know, we've had this before. And the next morning she was curled around her baby and she was no longer with us. So it's like in her dying moments, gives me the chills. She like protected her baby and kept her warm through the night. So sad. I am very glad I wasn't the one to discover this. I think I'd be wrecked for a very long time. But even hearing that from my husband was, you know, so I automatically go into like mother mode. We've done this before. We've had a bottle fed lamb. It is very intensive. It is every 4 hours around the clock feeding. And we put our Great Pyrenees out in the barn. She sleeps with her at night and it's so sweet. Aww. Even our Shih Tzu actually has been sleeping in the barn with her. I should show this. Sweet. I don't show everything, but
yes.
I should show this. And so our son, the last time we had a bottle fed lamb, he was not here with us. And so our son, who's 4, has been feeding this lamb. And I only show like good moments with him. I don't really share him like, everyone's always like, he's so happy. He never cries. I'm like, well, I would never share that on the internet. But so he does complain about barn chores and I want to, not all the time, but he does. He was like, oh, I don't want to feed. I want to keep playing. And I'm like, we've got to feed. And so, but when we go out there, like their connection is so cute. And, I shared this on the internet. The first time I, saw their connection. He had brought the lamb inside our house without any of us knowing. And he ran to the stairs. I was upstairs. I was having a horrible morning because, you know, I just lost Beatrix, my sheep that I love so much. And he ran to the stairs. He goes, I forget the exact quote, but he's like, Mom, I get to be a big brother. And it was like so sweet because he's been wanting a baby brother or sister so bad. And so it's been really sweet. And the lamb is so healthy and getting so big. You know, it's touch and go. You don't know if they're gonna make it without the mom. But yeah, it's been a beautiful thing. It's been very healing because I always call myself like a faux farmer because like I kiss all my animals. I talk to them. I do. I love them. And it's very weird too, because we do live on a farm. So sometimes we have to make hard decisions. Like I didn't share this on the internet, but like in the beginning of the year, we actually got rid of all of our males. You know, you sell sheep off and, you know, you do things, you got to make hard decisions. And so I'm like, well, why don't I cry then? You know, but it's just, you've got to make good decisions for your flock and you can't have 4,000 sheep on a very tiny farm. You know, they keep reproducing. So, you know, I cry over Beatrix and I
know what you mean, but then it's like, you have like the separation with like selling the mitt.
I know. And so
life is hard.
It's weird.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Life is weird. And that's why I really, like, really admire how you're navigating it, because you are really going through hard things. You're suffering. You are really suffering. But you are also really comforting yourself with Cozy, and you're really sharing how to comfort yourself and to turn hard things into something that can be cozy and beautiful. And isn't that, I guess, the goal? Because all of us are going through really hard things. All of us have had some really bad trauma. All of us have had some stuff that is so painful, we feel like we're going to die. But you can either make a choice and stay there, like you've said throughout this interview, you can make a choice and you can stay there. And it doesn't mean you can't feel it, because you need to feel it. You need to go all the way through the feelings. But then you have to make this decision, like, am I going to be happy? Am I going to let myself be comforted? Am I going to let myself have joy again? You have to make those choices, and you have to figure out how you can get to those choices. And I feel like you are a bridge from pain to, I mean, from pain to cozy leads to the joy, like allowing yourself to have this pain and get really cozy and safe allows you to get to the joy. You're showing us a way, and the cozy is the bridge.
Yeah. And, you know, we had said earlier to give yourself like that confidence, you know, and give yourself permission. And I feel like it's the same in this, like you can give yourself permission to know that something was traumatic for you. I often think that we compare our traumas, and we say like, oh, well, Liz had 12 miscarriages and I only had one, so I'm not allowed to like sit in this. And I, you know, she's going on, you know, what you see on the internet, you know, she's going on just fine. And I think that give yourself confidence and permission to sit in those feelings and heal from them and, you know, go on in the way you need to. We all deal with things differently. You know, some people want to share every detail and some people want to like lock it in. But I do think that having that confidence in that happened to me, that was very hard and I need to heal. Because I think with the news inundating us every day as well, we feel like, oh, well, this is going on in the world, so mine isn't that bad. And then we don't heal because it is traumatic. So I think giving yourself permission to be cozy and to heal and sit in that is what we need to do too.
What do you want people to take away from this book?
So much. I think number one, and the umbrella of it, is to create your own cozy. It's the title of the book. Sit in what resonates with you. I think we can all have a very beautiful life and be vessels for other people if we would just do what makes us tick in our homes, in our lives, and everywhere. And like I said, the other two books are How to Make Your Home Cozy, and it's very approachable. But this one is like, what is cozy to you?
This is a little more inner work.
Yeah. And it's an interactive book. You can write in it. There are places to journal and write. There are places to write a letter to your past self. And we ask some hard questions in it. And it's like, you know, we're asking these questions of like, what don't you like about your home? And what don't you like about your life right now? Like, what would you change? And it's like, that's kind of hard to ask, you know, because it's usually like rainbows and butterflies. Like, you know, when we hear
or
that
block
word,
it, or let's like block not look it. At it. Like, let's just
or,
not.
Yeah.
Look.
Or you're not allowed to complain about things. Like, you should be thankful. You can be grateful for your life and still want to change things. Like, you can be grateful for your home and still want to change things. I don't want to give a disclaimer everywhere on social media, but oftentimes they'll be like, oh, these renovations are killing me. I'm so grateful for them. I'm grateful for the opportunity and all of that. But, you know, it wears on you and you're allowed to feel like that. And so this book has monthly checklists of how to keep your house maintained and cozy, like, you know, like the ugly things, like changing out filters. And, but it's a very interactive book. Another thing that's different about it is there are a lot of photographs that we took still like the other books, but also illustrations. And I think that's really fun because I wanted you to be able to picture yourself in this book. Like, this is about you. This is you finding what makes you tick and what cozy is to you.
I just love your heart so much, Liz. You are truly, I can feel your kind, gentle spirit. You know, you've been through so much. Like you said, you've always like been looking for your worth and not wanting to take up space. And you're just such like a, oh, I don't want to bother you. And like, you're such like a kind, caring person. But like, to talk to you and to see how you have come into your taking up space and claiming what you love, having the confidence to love it, sharing the hard things that broke you to your, that took you to your knees, but then how leaning into cozy has led you to joy and a whole new rebirth. It's really, you're such an inspiration and you're such a genuine heart. I'm so thankful to know you and to get to talk to you. And it's such an honor that you share this with the world and you put yourself out there, because I know that wasn't necessarily your first inkling to do, but you have so much love to give and you have so much, you're a healer. Like, you really are helping people heal, and you're healing yourself and you're sharing that healing through your cozy. And it's amazing. And that's what the world needs, is everyone to lean into how they are healing themselves and what is lighting them up and share it. And you do such a great job of that. And I'm just so honored to have you on again. I always wrap up with Leave Your Light, and you've already said so many inspirational things, but what do you want people to know?
So many things, but this one's hard. I feel like we've kind of said it all, and picking one is hard, but I guess, you know, what you just said too is thank you for those words. Thank you so much for, you always breathe so much life into me. Like, listening to you is healing. And you always like build my confidence, and so thank you. And I hope everyone feels empowered listening to you as I do. But I feel like in this world of social media and scrolling, I would love for everyone to feel worthy and feel like they can take up space with what they love in this world. And I feel like that's what the world needs right now. They need kindness, and they need your approach and your art and your light. I feel like we're all conforming into one person, and we're all looking the same and acting the same. And I just feel like that causes a lot of friction. So I feel if you're feeling a little self-conscious or embarrassed to put yourself out there, I'm not saying everyone needs to be on the internet, but to that person that's feeling like that right now, the world needs you. And that was proven to me. And so I feel like I owe it to you to say, the world needs your light. They need your art, and you can do big things.
And you, every person holds a puzzle piece, like you said earlier.
I do.
And without your piece, the puzzle is not complete. And I feel truly like God made no mistakes, and whatever is on your heart is no mistake, just like you're saying. And I could not agree with you more, Liz. And thank you for shouting this message from the rooftop and showing people how to go from those really hard, just soul crushing moments, and not, and how to like cozy up and heal and come into something new. Thank you for showing that, for being that bridge, because it is so needed. More than ever, we all need to learn how to be cozy within ourselves and within our souls and within our spaces. Because if you feel safe and cozy, then you're going to feel so much better presenting yourself to the world and sharing your gifts. So thank you, Amen. Liz, so much for coming on here, sharing your heart, and writing this book. You are such an angel, and I just love getting to talk to you. And the book, is it out? When's it come out?
November 7th. So pre-order is now. I'm very excited for everyone to get this in their hands. I was excited about the other ones, but this one is, I'm overwhelmingly excited, like giddy, can't sleep. Everyone is going to love this, and I hope it lands in the right hands. Like, everyone that needs this message, I'm really excited for them.
I love it, because this one's like all the way to the soul for you.
It is. It's the final in the Cozy White Cottage series. So there's three books.
It's the trilogy. Completes the trilogy?
Yep. This is the finale. And so I think that's why I'm so excited, because this is where we bring everything together in this book. And it's very interactive, like I said. So I'm excited to like have that opportunity to walk with everybody and interact with everyone as they experience it. So thank you for giving me this time and platform and conversation to talk about it. So thank you.
Liz Marie Galvan, you are amazing. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, I cannot wait for the world to get this book and just get all of this love coming from your heart. And I hope that they feel it just the way you put it out there. I know they will. You're awesome. You. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, wait, where can everyone find you?
They can find the book, I guess, social media wise. I'm at Liz Marie Galvan, LizMarieBlog.com. And the book you can pre-order now on Amazon.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye, Liz.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.